Okay, we're on Daf Yud Tet today. Let's just refresh your recollections of what we've done so far. And remember, we had a series of Dapim. We were talking about the ability of Mashke, the ability of Mashkim to be Metame. Remember, we had a Brisa on the beginning of on the at the top of Tet Zayin Amud Aleph. That was the top of Monday's Daf. The end of Sunday's Daf was that there was a three-way machloket, that according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, Mashkin could transmit Tumah on a Daraisa level to Ochlin and to Kalim. And according to Meir, it could only transmit on a Derabanan level. And then we had sort of the middle opinion, which was Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, who said that it couldn't transmit Tumah to food on a Daraisa level, but to Kalim on a Derabanan level. That's the part of or the narrative up till now. Then in yesterday's daf, the Gemara was analyzing the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, and said that Rabbi Yossi was who had that middle opinion was following his Rabbi Akiva, and the Rabbi Akiva had this drasha, Yitma Yitame. Remember we had that pasuk talking about if the food becomes tame, if the mashke becomes tame. So it says Yitma with the dead sheretz, Yitma it shall become tame. But it should just say Tame. What is it? Yitma, it shall become Tame. So we can drash it out, Yitame, that it has the power to transmit Tumah. So from there we learned that that a mashke can transmit Tumah to food. That was the reason we brought it in. But Agav Orcha, we had the food can transmit Tumah to mashke, and the food is a sheni l'tumah. So the trans to Tumah, so it's transmitting to a Shlishi. So that's the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that by Chulin, you can even have a Shlishi Latuma. That was the big Chiddush. That, I mean, Agav Orcha, we didn't need it per se for our Limud, but Agav Orcha, Rabbi Akiva holds that Chulin could even be a Shlishi. So then the Gemara said at the end, that really Rabbi Yossi didn't hold from Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold from Rabbi Yossi. That's what Rava said at the bottom of Yud Chedamud Beis, that Rabbi Yossi was just quoting his Rebbe and projecting based on his Rebbe's svaras what would be the case by Mashkim, but he doesn't really hold from Rabbi Akiva's whole Shtickle Torah, and Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold from his Shtickle Torah. So let me pick up again from the bottom on Yud Chet Amud Beis. Okay, so the Gemara says, so this is around 8 lines from the bottom. So Amar Le, Rabbi Yossi, she's Rabbi Akiva, Rabbo Amaram. Rabbi Yossi was just saying, following the Shita, in other words, the position of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, but Le, Lo, Svir, Le, he doesn't really hold from it. So Amar Le, Rav Ashi, Rav Kahana, Bishlim, Rabbi Yossi, Lo, Savala, Rabbi Akiva. So Rav Ashi says to Rav Kahana, it's clear that Rabbi Yossi does not hold from Rabbi Akiva's Shita. Now, what the Gemara is going to explain, Rabbi Yossi is going to propound a whole argument. And based on a Kal Vachomer, he's going to learn that by Kachim, it's one level of Tumah greater than by Truma. So based on that, he says Truma is a Shlishi, Kachim are a V. So, but if he would really hold from Rabbi Akiva that there's even a Shlishi by Chulin, if he would hold that way, so then he would come out to be a Revi by Truma and a Chamishi by Kachim. That's the broad brush approach to what we're about to learn. Okay? So there's a few lines to the bottom on Yud Chet Amud Beis. So it says, "Detanya Am Rabbi Yossi Minayin LeRavi BaKodeshu Pasul." How do I know that Ravi BaKodesh is Pasul? Pasul means it's the end of the line. It's Pasul. The Ravi BaKodesh is maximum Tumah by Kachim is Ravi. But you know, it's logical. It means a Kal Vachomer. He says, "Umam Mechusar Kippurim Shemutar BaTruma Pasul BaKodesh." So a Mechusar Kippurim. We said yesterday, certain people are tame and they still have to bring the korban, like the mitzora. He's gone through the whole tara process, but he still has to bring a korban. So at that point, he's called a mechusar kippurim. So he's mutar b'truma. He can eat truma if he's a kohen, but he's pasul b'kodesh. He can't eat kachim. So kachim are on a higher level than truma. That's the basic idea. Kachim are more chamor than truma. He says, Shlishi shepasul b'truma. So Shlishi is the end of the line with Tumah by Truma. Eino din, she has a Revi b'kodesh. So by Kachim, I figure I'll have a Revi. It'll be one more. By Kachim will be Revi. So that's what he says. And then he says, Aino did shiyas the Rabbi Bekodesh. Then he throws in an argument, and this last piece. See, there's a din. If I'm learning B from A with a kavachomer, so there's a call of dayo or like dayo labomen adin liokinidon or labamen adin. I always learned it labomen adin, but technically it's labamen adin. Dayo labomen adin liokinidon. If I'm learning a kavachomer B from A, B can't be more chamor than A. In other words, kavachomer is true by B, but B can't be more chamor than A. And yet here, it's coming out kachamor more chamor than truma, even though they're learning the kavachomer from truma. So he adds on that I don't really need the kavachomer to teach me shlishi. Lamanu shlishi b'kodesh min haTorah uRevi mi kavachomer. The only thing we're learning more is the Revi. Shlishi min haTorah dechtiv v'abasar sheyiga. Top line in Yitzchak Aleph, v'abasar sheyiga b'chol tamei lo yechel. The basar means the meat of kachim that touches anything which is tamei cannot be eaten. He's Milo askinan denag b'sheni. So he assumes that when the Torah says b'chol tamei, we're talking about a sheni latuma, because we see the Torah also refers to a sheni latuma as tamei. We had a pasuk on this. What was the pasuk? He says, like kol asher b'tocho yitma. In that pasuk, remember, I had the dead sheretz was an avatuma, the keli was a rishon latuma. So kol asher b'tocho yitma will become tamei. That's a sheni latuma. So he says, so. If the basar of kachim touches tamei a sheni, it becomes a shlishi. So I don't need any kavachomer to teach me shlishi. He says, and then revi'i mi kavachomer kedamrinim. But with the kavachomer, I learn revi'i. So the Gemara says, now here's with the clincher, we're going to bring down the argument to a close. V'isal kadai teksabar k'Rebbe Akiva. If we would assume that the Tana Rebbe Yossi holds like Rebbe Akiva, his Rebbe, totally. And Rebbe Akiva, we know, holds that by Chulin, there's even a Shlishi. That's what we said. The Chulin is a Shlishi. Nitni Nami, Revi, Betruba, Bechavishi, Bekodesh. He should arrive, using all the Kavachomers, he should arrive at a conclusion that by Truma, there's a Revi, and by Kachem, there's a Chamishi. Now, Rashi fills in what the first Kavachomer would be. And this Kavachomer is similar to the Kavachomer we had earlier in the Gemara just a few lines ago. If you look at the first narrow line in Rashi on Yotet Amon Aleph, he says, Mi Tvul Yom, Umat Tvul Yom, Shemutar Bechulin Pasul Betruma. Tvul Yom is, this is the case to talk about Tvul Yom here, Fern, is that Tvul Yom is the person who's going through a Tara process. He went to the mikvah. He's waiting for Harib Shemesh. He's a sheni latuma. So matvul yom shemutar b'chulin. He can eat chulin, but he's pasul b'truma. He can't touch truma because otherwise he'll pasul b'truma if he touches it, because truma will be a shlishi. He says shlishi shepasul b'chulin. So the way I would have learned this kavachomer using Rabbi Akiva's positions, so I would say that shlishi that's pasul by chulin, which is what Rabbi Akiva holds, eino din sheyaseh revi b'truma. So that it should be revi by truma. So if I started off with that, again, if we hold from Rabbi Akiva said, based on the psukim about you know, the keli, in other words, kol asher b'tocho yitma. So we said the food that's in the keli will become tamei. That's a sheni. And Rabbi Akiva said that sheni will be mitamei mashkin, make it a shlishi on a Torah level. So there's a shlishi by chulin. We have a shlishi by chulin. So if this once this minute odate. So if we have a shlishi by chulin according to Rabbi Akiva, using this kavachomer, I know that by truma there would be a revi. And then once I know there's a Revi by Truma, then using Rabbi Yossi's Kalvachomer, then I know that there's a Chamishi by Kachim. I know there's a Chamishi by Kachim. So let's see back in the Gemara. It says, V'isa katayt savar k'Rabbi Akiva nitnim a Revi b'Truma v'Chamishi b'Kodesh. Ella, on the fourth line, Rabbi Akiva lo savar. So let me pause here for 1 second. So the basic idea we want to say, from this Brisa, it seems clear that Rabbi Yossi does not subscribe to his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva's position with respect to Shlishi Bechulin. All right, what do you want to say? Odedi, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to be, when you said that about Rashi, where was it? Mitvul Yom, is that what we learn in Masechet Brachot, Asher, you know, that Kohanim Ba'u Lechol
Betul Right, right, right. This is right. The first Mishnah in Masechet Brachot refers to the right. It says,
So all day until Ba'a Shemesh, they are still tame, and then
well, they have a residual
evening,
residual amount of tuma, right? They can't eat truma. That's right. They can't eat. They can't eat truma. They can't touch truma. That's 100% correct. Okay, let me just do a little, get through this woods, and then I'll pause even more in another 10 lines. Okay,
okay.
We're almost through the difficult part. Okay, everybody got to mute themselves. Okay, now, so we see then clearly from this brisa. Rabbi Yossi does not subscribe to Rabbi Akiva's Limud, because if he subscribed to it, he'd arrive at a conclusion that we'd have a Revi by Truma and a Chamishi by Kachim, which he says we don't have. So then he says, El on the fourth line, El Rabbi Akiva lo Savar k'Rabbi Yossi min Alan. Rava said on the previous daf that a few lines before where we began today, that that Rabbi Akiva also doesn't subscribe to Rabbi Yossi. Now it means the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yossi has his Kal v'Chomer, and he's going to jack everything up. So, but he doesn't, it means that Rabbi Akiva doesn't subscribe to this Kal v'Chomer, because if he subscribed to that Kal v'Chomer, then Rabbi Akiva himself would hold that there is a Revi'i by Truma and a Chamishi by Kachim, and he does not hold that way. He only holds as a Shlishi by Chulin, and then he'll hold as a Shlishi by Truma and a Revi'i by Kachim. He does, so he doesn't subscribe to Rabbi Yossi's Kal v'Chomer. He says, so how do we know that? Rabbi Akiva lo Savar k'Rabbi Yossi min Alan. Now, they said, Rashi explains, this is the way they had it in the art scroll, that Rabbi Akiva does not subscribe to Rabbi Yossi's Kal v'Chomer, because the linchpin of the Kal v'Chomer is Uma Mechusar Kippurim Shemutar Betruma Pasul B'Kodesh. The Mechusar Kippurim, he's Mutar Betruma, he's Pasul B'Kodesh. So he wants to say the Mechusar Kippurim might be an unusual case. The Mechusar Kippurim was someone who was an Avatuma, and now he's coming out of it. So the fact that I see the Mechusar Kippurim, it says the Mechusar Kippurim is Mutar Betruma, but he's Pasul B'Kodesh, that doesn't mean that every... That would be true by every, you know, by every Sheni Latuma. In other words, we're trying to extrapolate a din from Mechusar Kippurim, you know, to a general rule in Tuma. So the Mechusar Kippurim is a person who's coming from a Tuma Chamura, and he's coming out of it. So he might have a little bit of, like, residual, you know, Tuma, more than what he on the face of it is. So
he had a 7-day Tuma.
The time period isn't the key. The key is the level of tuma. He was an ava tuma. Okay, just give me just a few minutes. Okay, so on the fourth line, El Rabbi Akiva lo Savar k'Rabbi Yossi min Alan. Where do we see that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold from Rabbi Yossi? So this is now, that's the end of the question that Rav Ashi was asking Rav Kahana. That's where we began. Rav Ashi asked Rav Kahana. So Amar Lei. So Rav Kahana's answer to Rav Ashi is to lo lishtami tana. From the fact that the Tana never records a Mishnah or whatever a Brisa that says that there's a Revi'i Bakodesh, a Revi'i Betruma, and a Chamishi Bakodesh, and saying that that follows the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Akiva, so we're trying to prove something from like the absence of something. From the fact that we don't see any Tana or any Mishnah or Brisa that says that, we can conclude that indeed Rabbi Akiva does not say that. And if he held from Rabbi Yossi's Kal v'Chomer, he would say that. So the Gemara says, so Rabashi says back, Ba'anana hachi nekum v'nismoch. You mean the fact that you don't have a Mishnah Brisa, that's what we're going to rely on, that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold that way? So Nafak Ravashi, so the Gemara says, Nafak Ravashi, v'item Rav Kahana. So Rav Ashi went out, and some say it was Rav Kahana himself went out. So either it's the Makshin Rav Ashi or Rav Kahana, who was the one who was answering it. He says, Dak v'ashkach. He found a Mishnah that supports the idea that Rabbi Akiva does not subscribe to Rabbi Yossi's Kal v'Chomer. As a result of that, Rabbi Akiva does not hold that there is a Revi'i by Truma and a Chamishi by Kachim. He says, Hatitnan. We learned the Mishnah. And this Mishnah is, one second, Masechet Chagiga. He says, Hakli mitzarif it masha b'toko l'kodesh av olo l'truma. Now, kli mitzarif means if I have a long trough, you know, and I have, at one end of the trough, I have some food, let's say some kachim in one end of it, and then tuma touches it. And then at the other end of the trough, I also have some kachim. So here, the Tana of the Mishnah is teaching me an idea of tziruf, that the kli, even though they're not touching, even though the food item A and B are not touching, the kli brings them together and unifies them as if they are touching. That's the what's the way the halakha works. He says, so let's see the Mishnah. Hakli mitzarf mashvtocho lekodesh, aval lo truma. So by kachim it'll join it, but not by truma. He says, now the Mishnah says, here's the key line, va'revi ba'kodesh pasul, by kachim, revi'i is the maximum, revi'i. He says, va'ashlishi b'truma, and shlishi by truma. Now the Gemara is going to learn this Mishnah is based on Rabbi Akiva. If this Mishnah is based on Rabbi Akiva, clearly Rabbi Akiva holds that the maximum amount by kachim is revi'i, and the maximum amount by truma is shlishi. He says, and here's the proof now. That's the end of the Mishnah. Va'am Rabbi Akiva bar Abba, am Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Abba saying Rabbi Yochanan. If you remember, we had in Bracho, the Rabbi bar Abba was his like number one Talmud, or like do you remember the sugya? I've repeated this in the past. There was the sugya in Brachot around Lamed Zion or so, or Lamed Vav, about Shlakot, remember, with the boiled vegetables. The Gemara had two versions of what Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefet and Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. And the Gemara says, what's Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefet Lagabi Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba? Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, every 30 days he chazed his learning before his Rebbe. And Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was like the number one Talmud. And, you know, so if you question what Rabbi Yochanan said, so certainly Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba is more authoritative than Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefet. I see Michael's checking up the chart, so he'll tell us what he finds there. Okay, so now, so the Gemara says, that Mishnah, which we just learned, and that Mishnah was in Masechet Chagiga, was based on the Edutosha Rabbi Akiva. Edutosha Rabbi Akiva, yeah, who's who in the Talmud? Okay, the question is, who's who the author, though? Who's the author of that sefer? Okay, he'll tell us in a minute. So the, I mean, I'm sure it's a good sefer, but the key
does is, that tell you who's more authoritative in the same time period?
What? Who? What? Does, well, just wait, who? Wait 1 second. Okay, I'll pause in just a few lines. Okay, I let me just keep up with the line. Okay, the flow. Okay, so the and again, I'm sure it's a good sefer. Okay, I just want to know who wrote it. Okay, so the Gemara says, from the testimony of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, I see. It's Shulamis Freeman. Anyway, so the edus of Rabbi Akiva, this was taught. It means edus means in Masechet Eduyot. In Masechet Eduyot, they had like certain halachot psukot, and it was well established halachot that were stated by the Tanaim, like Hayd, they testified concerning it. So this Mishnah of Chagiga is based on the edut of Rabbi Akiva. Ditnan, because we learned the Mishnah in Masechet Eduyot. Hosef Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is adding on to the cases of tziruf. Tziruf is where we're joining the food in the trough. He says, Hosef Rabbi Akiva, hasolet v'aktoret v'alavona v'gechalim. The flour, this is in the Beis HaMikdash, the flour for menachot. He says, ketoret, the frankincense. Lavona is the ketoret is the incense. The lavona is the frankincense, the gechalim, the coals. So it means when we talk about Lavona and Gachelet, it's only a tuma on a Durabanan level. There's no tuma Duraisa, it's non-food item. So, but it means a tuma Durabanan. So it means, Shim Nagat Tful Yom B'Miksatan, if the Tful Yom, if they were in the same Keli, and the Tful Yom touched some of them, Pasal Kulan. In other words, like you have a bunch of coals, they're like segmented, you know, but if the Tful Yom, he's like a Sheni the Tuma, he touches one coal, so then all the coals have a level of tuma. So it means that the Mishnah in Chagiga, which talks about siruf, and which says that the maximum is a shlishi by truma and revi by kachim, is based on this Mishnah or this teaching of Rabbi Akiva in Masechet Eduyot. And in that Mishnah, in Chagiga, he says that the maximum is shlishi by truma, revi by kodesh. He says revi in chamishi lo. So you clearly see the Mishnah says that revi is the maximum by kachim, not chamishi. Shlishi in revi lo, and by truma it's the maximum shlishi, not revi. Okay, so that's going to be the proof that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold from Yossi, because Rabbi Akiva held from Rabbi Yossi's Kal Vachomer, he'd arrive at Revi by Truma and Chamishi by Kachim. Okay, let's just summarize what we did so far. Then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so the basic idea we hooked into is we said that Rabbi Yossi, who reported on the opinion of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva is the one who taught that the food that's in the Keli can transmit Tuma to to mashkim. So we said the food is a sheni and the mashkim are shlishi on a Torah level. So we said that. So he, Rabbi Yossi, didn't personally hold like Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva, because we saw the limud before that Rabbi Yossi only ended up with a revi by truma and by shlishi by truma and revi by kachim, and if he held from Rabbi Akiva, he'd arrive at a higher level, one each one a notch higher, and Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold from Rabbi Yossi's kal v'chomer. Because if he held like that kal v'chomer, he'd also arrive at a higher notch. So the only thing that we know that Rabbi Akiva holds is that you have a shlishi by chulin, but nothing more than that. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything that I said so far? All right, William, do you want to tell us anything about your sefer, Michael?
This was published in 1995. This is, do you know Rabbi Meir Fund? This is his daughter.
Oh.
Who wrote this sefer. And I picked it up a number of years ago, and it's a phenomenal categorized all the Amoraim and Tanaim in the Talmud.
Very nice.
So Rav Chiya bar Abba, he was a third generation Amora, like you said, studied under Rav Yochanan. Just like you said, Brachos daf Lamed Ches.
Oh, sorry, okay. I was off. I said Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches.
Close enough. That Rav Zeira testified that he was extremely precise in transmitting every word of Rav Yochanan, because every 30 days he'd review his studies in his teacher's presence.
Okay, very nice. So show us the book again. Let's show hold up the book. So who's who in the Talmud? Where did you pick this up here in America? I take it right.
Yeah,
now?
A number of years ago, Meir Fund. Do you know who that is?
It rings a bell. Who's Meir Fund?
Shlomis Friedman got her teacher's degree from Beis Yaakov in Yerushalayim, graduated summa cum laude from Touro College, and she's the daughter of the community rabbi, Meir Fund. I've heard the name.
Yeah.
But
anyway, the
Rabbi, you know, Gil Freeman is her husband. They live in Brooklyn.
All right. Anyway,
it's a wonderful sefer.
Anyway, I don't know if they're going to have they probably won't have a YU Swarm sale in the normal sense this year, but they may have something online. So if they have like an online Swarm sale, you know, for YU, you may.
I think that's where I got it.
All right, that's what I'm saying. You may be able to get it. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Anything we did?
Yes, I got a question.
Yeah, what's up, Yosef?
So Rabbi Akiva holds a chulin and truma on the same level?
Well, they each could be a shlishi, right?
No, they're not on the same level.
They could reach the same level.
They can each, according to the Tanna, Rabbi Akiva, they're each susceptible to becoming a shlishi of the tumah.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, I'm moving on. Now, the thing with this daf, it gets a little easier as you go through it. And we're almost through the sugya of Reb Chinin Eskana Kohanim, that I could tell you. and Shabbos, by the way, the weather, I can't say ironclad guarantee, Michael, but the weather forecast is for above 50 weather on Shabbos with some rain. So I think that most likely will be outside, but I can't, I have to check with everybody here, you know, who shows up, and we'll see how it works out. Okay. Well, I can't hear a word you're saying, Michael. You got to mute yourself.
Where's Sol today?
That's the question, right? But I think Sol will go for it, okay? So that being the case, I can't make 100% guarantee to you, Michael, but most likely we'll be outside, and I hope to see more people there, like you, Fern, and you, Michael, and Ruth. I needless to say, I hope to see you as well, everyone. Okay, now let's see back on the Gemara. Okay, now the Gemara has around six lines from the bottom on Yud Tet Amud Aleph. It says, Alma Kasavar, Tziruf de Rabbanan. Now, the Gemara, this is an Agav Orcha. The Gemara says, apparently, it sounds like this idea of Tziruf. Tziruf is that we're going to combine two items that don't touch each other, that are in the same keli, and treat them like one item. We said that if you touch one item, the other thing becomes tame. That's quite a chiddush. So the Gemara says, from here, it sounds like that's a din de rabbanan. The Gemara assumes, since, again, Rabbi Yochanan is the one, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, the name Rabbi Yochanan, who related it to the Mishnah in Masechet Eduyot. So over there, it speaks about things that receive Tuma on a Drabanan level, Lavona, Gechalim, that's only Tuma on a Drabanan level because it's not food, it's not a Keli. So he assumes that just like we're talking about objects that receive Tuma on a Drabanan level, so to the whole idea of Tziruf is also on a Drabanan level. Upliga the Rabbi Chanin, this is in contradistinction to the opinion of Rabbi Chanin, the Amar Tziruf Doraita. He holds the idea of Tziruf that when things are in the same Keli, we treat like one unit. He says, Shenemar, this is apropos, this is a Freilich and Chanukah to everybody. Tonight's the first night of Chanukah, but the Kriyas Torah tomorrow, we read from the Siyam. And this is the, I guess a lot of Dafyomis will probably be mentioning this. Oh, you hear a Sal. It says that Kafachat Asar Sahav Maliyah Ketoret. It says Kafachat, like one spoon, filled with Ketoret, HaKetuv Asah Kumash B'Kaf Achad, that the Torah treats everything that's in the Kaf, in this ladle, as one unit. In other words, even though the Ketoret is like granular, but it treats it as like one unit because it's in one Keli. So according to Reb Chanin, it's in the right of Tziruf. Now, we had something similar in Mesechet Shabbos that, remember we quoted from the Ben Ish Chai, related it to Shalach Manas. Do you remember? You had different objects in a Keli. It was like marbles, but it was something, a different object in the Gemara, and part of the objects in one Rishus, part of the objects in the other Rishus. But we treat everything as being in one Rishus, and so I think from there the Ben Ish Chai said that for Shalach Manas, anything that's in the same package is considered like one unit, and so he said everything should be packaged separately. Anyway, we had that from the Ben Ish Chai by Shalach Manos. Okay, that's the end of this piece. I'm moving on to the next piece now. Okay, now again, we're moving like Gemara is moving like one object, like one item like touches the other item. I mean, I don't mean Tumantara. I mean like thematically, one item touches one item, then you move on to the next time this and this. So now. Now we said Reb Chanina Skana Konim, so the Gemara quotes another din of Reb Chanina Skana Konim, but it's like moving, more afield from where we started. So Tanana Tam, we learned the Mishnah of Sechet Eduyot, Al Machat Shem Seif Babasar, concerning a needle that was found in the flesh of a korban, Shasakin Vayidayim Tohorot, that the sakin that used to shech the animal, even though it might have touched the machat, it's tahor. And the yadayim, your hands, even though they may have touched the machad, were also tohorot, he says. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss in Amud Beis why we assume the machad is tameh, but we assume the machad is tameh. Okay, so hang tight with that. He says, v'habasar tameh. But the basar, the flesh, we treat it as being tameh, the flesh of the korban. Nimseit beperesh, if the needle is found in the excrement of the animal, he says, hakol tahor, then everything is tahor. Okay, so that's the Mishnah, and we have to be patient. We don't understand the Mishnah. We're just getting into it. And now the Gemara will start analyzing the Mishnah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, Zachinu, shein tumin yadayim b'mikdash. Like from this Mishnah, we see we have a zechus that there's no tumas yadayim b'mikdash, meaning that we know the chachamim were gozer that yadayim are shniot, yadayim are very susceptible to tuma, and whenever you talk about yadayim, it's talking about tuma on a bottom level, that the hands get a level of tuma. From here, we could see that ain't tuma yadayim b'mikdash. From the fact that this mishnah says that the machad, even though the hands, person's hands might have touched the machad, that they're not tameim, so. That's a tova that we see that there's no tumas yadayim in the mikdash, which is a tuma derabanan. In other words, he says, turn page on the top line of Ted Amabez. So the Gemara says, "V'neima she'ain tuma yadayim bekelim mikdash." Why does he say ain't tuma yadayim mikdash? The sakin is also not tame. So she say there's no tuma kelim in the mikdash. So he says, "Amar Rabbi Marav v'itema Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chinina yadayim now." Yadayim, now, when it says tumas kalim, he means if a mashke would touch the keli, that's the tuma on a drabanan level. Remember, there were 18 things that we learned in Masechet Shabbat that they did in the Aliyah, Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Garon. Remember, we had this. People learned Dafyomi, we had that. So the Gemara assumes that this animal that's being shechted had like some fluid on it, things like that, moisture around. But notwithstanding that, even if the sakin touches the machad, it's not makabel tuma, and would be a tumah on a drabbanan level. So he says, so why doesn't he say there's no tumah yadayim and no tumah kelim in the mikdash? So Amar Rav Yudah Marav, Itaymi Rav Yosi, Rav Chanina, yadayim kodem gzeira kelim nishnu. So Rav Yudah says Lim Rav, and some say that Rav Yosi, Rav Chanina said this, that the gzeira concerning yadayim, you know, that hands are susceptible to being a sheni latuma and are assumed to be a sheni latuma. Any sort of like little thing that would touch it would make it a sheni latuma. So he says that gzeira came before the gzeira of kalim. So this Mishnah was taught when only the gzeira of Yadayim were in place. So the Gemara says, Amarava v'atarvayu bo bayom gazru. What do you mean that Yadayim was first? They both on the same day. He says, Ditnan, because we learn the Mishnah in this Mishnah, Masechet Zavim. He says, Hasefer means if you have anything that's written on the Kedusha Sefer, anyone in the Sifrei Tanakh that's written on cloth, if that touches Truma, it's Tame. His Vahayadayim, if a person touches Truma with his hands without washing it, it's Tame. That's why we wash our hands before we say Amotzi or Yisrach Truma. He says, Vahatful Yom, we covered already. He's a chain of the Tuma. And then, Vahochlin, Vahkelim, Shinitmu, Bamashkin. Ochlin and Kalim that became Tame Bamashkin. So here, this Mishnah mentions Yadayim have Tuma, and it mentions Ochlin and Kalim can become Tame with Mashkim. So they seem from this Mishnah to be both at the same time. Now, the only thing is that the fly in the ointment with this is, and Tosos brings it up in the second Tosos, that we know that the Gemara says that there was a Gzeir and Tanshlomo Melech about Yadayim. So how can the Gemara say that they're both the same day when it was Shlomo Melech? So the Gemara means, the way that Tosos explains it, that Shlomo Melech didn't make the Gzeira that it applies in the Mikdash. And then similarly, they didn't make the Gzeira that the Kalim with the Mashkim apply in the Mikdash. And it means on that day, they did not extend it. They didn't extend it to the Mikdash. In other words, it wasn't, this Gzeira Durabanim was not extended to the Makom Mikdash. So on the sixth line in the Gemara, so why is it that he didn't mention about, in other words, why is it that Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, he says, Zachinu Shein Tumat Yadayim Mikdash, like we're so fortunate that there's no Tumat Yadayim in the Mikdash. Why do you say there's no Tumat Yadayim Tumat Kalim in the Mikdash, since it doesn't seem to be that way? And the Mishnah said that the hands are Tahor and the Sakin is Tahor, even though they may have touched the Machat. So the Gemara says, Elama Rava, Hanakla Tumat Sakin, Dafilu Bechulin Nami Lomatame. He says, leave the Sakin out of the discussion, because even if it was a Chulin Sakin, presumably outside the base of Mikdash, it wouldn't be Tame. Why not? Hai Sakin, the Gemara explains, Hai Sakin Danaga Babai. What did the Sakin touch? He says, Elam Danaga Babasar, if the Sakin touched the flesh of the animal, he says, Ha'in Ochel Matame Kli. Ochel cannot be Matame Kli. Food cannot be Matame Kli. That's dead letter. Biladaga Machat. Maybe it touched the Machat. It touched the needle. He says, Ba'in Kli Matame Kli. So Mela, there is no way that the Sakin would have become Tame. So we don't have to say, like, you know, like we're so grateful that there's no Tuma for the Kalim and the Mikdash. In other words, it's not even part of the discussion. All right, let me just do another six lines and I'll pause and we'll take some questions, okay? So so we're discussing a different topic now. The last, you know, 15 lines, different topic with this Machat that was in the Kachim animal that was Shechted. And we assume it's Tame. The Gemara is going to explain shortly why we assume it's Tame. But notwithstanding that, if the person, even though the person might have touched the Machat, his hands are not considered to be Tame. So the Gemara says, Hi Machat Mayavidate, what's the status of this Machat? Inema Safek Machat, if it's just a Machat, I don't know where it came from. So I have a Safek, maybe it's Tame, maybe it's Tahor, so I'm treating it like Tame. He says, Vahaitmar, Rib Lazar, Rib Yosef, Rib Chanina, Chadamar, Lo Gazru, Safek, Harokin, Shibushalayim. One said they didn't make a Gezeira concerning them. If I see spittle on the street, I don't have to worry that it came from a Zav. Then it would be an Avatuma. So I don't have to worry about that. He says, In Yerushalayim, when I go there. Vahadamar, Lo Gazru, Al Safek, Hakelim, Shushalayim. One says they didn't make a Gezeira concerning Kalim, but find a Kali in the street, I don't have to worry that it was Tame. So that doesn't seem so. Since this is an animal of Kachim in the base of Mikdash, and I have a Machat, and I don't know where it came from, but a Safek of a Keli, so I don't have to worry about Tuma with that. So Amar of Yudam Arav, Gon Sha'avdulo Macha Tmei Meit, Vihikira B'Basar. So the case could be where it was a Macha that belonged to a Tmei Meit. Tmei Meit is a person who touched a dead body. He's an Avatuma. He touches the Macha. The Macha is also an Avatuma. We had that Lima B'Chal Cherev. So he recognizes the Macha. So where somebody recognizes the Macha, I recognize that's Joe's Macha, and he touched it as an Avatuma. So that's what it's saying, that notwithstanding that the hands are still tahor. He says, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Avin Amar, don't shay ta para chasuma uba mechus Yerushalayim. Or, in the alternative, it was a para that was muzzled, and so it didn't eat anything in Yerushalayim, and then it came from outside Yerushalayim, and they shecht that they find the machat there. So the machat outside Yerushalayim, so there they did have a gezeira that we have to treat it as tame. Okay, let's just wait one second, and I'll... Let me just take a look. One second. All right. So that's that. That's that. Give me one second. Right. So the machat, again, with the first two kimta, the machat was a tmei meit. The machat is an avatuma. So now this machat is going to be metame the basar. We said the basar is tame. Right? We said, what did we say about the basar? We said the basar is tame. And the Gemara is going to discuss why the hands are not tame. The hands are not tame. We'll discuss that. Okay, so again, let's just summarize what we did. So we did this Mishnah from Masechet Eduyot. The Mishnah from Masechet Eduyot talks about shechting a korban. In the korban, you find a needle. And it emerges now from our discussion that I'm concerned that the needle is tame, either because someone recognizes the needle as belonging to a tame mate, so it's the needle's an avatuma, so it is tame, or it's just because there's gzeira drabanan that kalim that are found outside Yerushalayim are presumed to be tame, and this cow or animal was muzzled in Yerushalayim, so it didn't swallow anything in Yerushalayim, so it came from outside Yerushalayim, therefore it's tame. So the Mishnah said that the sakin, the knife they used to shecht the animal, it's tahor, and that really wasn't such a big issue. And the person's yadayim, even though they may have touched the machat, are also tahorim. And we'll see what's going on with that shortly. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
Really, well, why is there a presumption that spittle from Yerushalayim is pure?
Yeah, so again, this is a din derabanan. So the concern is that a zav or a zava might have spat out. In other words, you spitting out or me spitting out, we don't care about that. But if you have a zav or a zava, then I'm concerned, then that would be an avatuma. So
wouldn't you agree that half the inhabitants of Yerushalayim are women, and women are menstruating, so Anita would also, the spittle would be Tomei.
Yeah, so
why not?
Yeah. So here it says in footnote 11, it says that Zavim and other Tami people were not as prevalent in Yerushalayim as in other places. He quotes the Bartanur in Shkalim that they didn't have as many. In other words, the Zav and the Zava, you can hear, but I don't know about the Nidot. But in other words, we're trying to figure out, is it Tami or not? That's the basic idea. I don't know, more to say than that. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay. I'm going to move on. Okay. Let's take a look. So now, We're at the two dots. We're halfway down the column on Yud-Tet Amud Beis. Okay, so Gufa, Reb Lazar, Reb Yossi Bar Chanina, Chadamar Lo Gazrul Safek Arokin Shushlayim. So Reb Lazar and Reb Yossi Bar Chanina, one of them says, doesn't identify who said which, that there was no gezeira concerning Rokin Yerushalayim, concerning saliva in Yerushalayim, and we just said a minute ago based on the Bar Tanura, because most of the there wasn't many Tami people prevalent in Yerushalayim. But Chadamar Lo Gazu Al Safek Kalim Yerushalayim. The other one says they didn't make a gzeira concerning Kalim. If you found a Kali, that would be Tame. We'll see in a minute. All right, my phone is ringing. I'm going to let it ring. Okay, now, so the Gemara says, Rokin Tanina Kalim Tanina. The Gemara says, why do I need these Amoraim to tell me these Dinim? I know they're both from different Mishnayot. So everybody knows that all the Amorim knew all the Mishnayot. He says, Rokim Tanina, we learn. All right, give me one second.
I could have told him that.
Anyway, so the Gemara says that, let's do the Mishnah about the Rokin. So it says, he says, Ditnan, so Rokin Tanina, Ditnan, this Mishnah is a Masechet Shkalim, which is coming up with Daf Yomi when we finish Pesachim, which is, I think, on March 22nd. And hopefully we'll be better with this COVID by that time. We're somewhat improved. Anyway, the next Masechta is Shkalim. Okay, so we have a little bit of a foreshpies, like an appetizer for Shkalim. Is non kol rokin and simi Yerushalayim tohorin. All the saliva that's found in Yerushalayim, means like you found it on the street, you know, obviously something like that. He says that's presumed to be tohorin. Except from the Shukah Elyon. The Shukah Elyon, the upper market, means that all the Tamei people will hang out at the Shukah Elyon. So that's like your Tamei, that's the Chever, that's where you hang out with your group. So the Shukah Elyon, so there the saliva is presumed to be Tamei. Everywhere else is presumed to be Tahor. So the Gemara says, so the Mishnah itself is telling me that the Roke in Yerushalayim is Tahor. So what do I need? Oh, you know, these one of them are Rhyme, Reb Lazar, Reb Yosef, Reb Chanina, tell me that. So lo tzricha avagav de chazei gzav. So no, the Chiddush is that whichever Mara was saying this is that not just that I found it elsewhere in Yerushalayim, but even though I know a zav was just by there, in other words, I saw a zav walk down the street, notwithstanding that, I can rely that the roke is tahor. Okay, that's the first piece. Now, then the Gemara says, Kalim Tanina. So I know, I learned the Mishnah teaches me about Kalim. Again, the Gemara says, Kalim, if I find a Kali in the street, I can assume it's Tahor. So I know that from the Mishnah. Ditnan, because I learned in the Mishnah, this Mishnah is also Masechet Shkalim. Call Kalim Nimsim Yushalayim. All Kalim that are found in Yushalayim, Derech Yerida Lebeda Tefila Tmein. If you found it, in other words, there's a pathway to the mikvah. There's like the pathway heading towards the mikvah and the pathway heading away from the mikvah. So if you imagine the pathway to the mikvah, and I imagine like a pathway going downhill, you know, mikvah is usually like a lower point or something like that. Let's say the steps, like the one steps, you know, descending steps and other steps, you ascend the steps. So if it's descending steps, so he says, so if I find a keli on the way down towards the mikvah, then the presumption is it's tamei. He says, because I think that the person wanted to be tovel the keli, never got to the mikvah, so it's tamei. So the Gemara says, hada alma tohorim. So from there, I would assume that the Mishnah is teaching me only the keli that I found on the way to the mikvah, you know, where it's the pathway to the mikvah, those are tameim. Everything else I find anywhere else in Yerushalayim is tohorim. So I have it. So what do I need? So what do I need the Amar to say that they're tohorim? So the Gemara says, Vlatameh, but wait, according to that logic, he says, Eima Seifa, let's do the Seifa of the Mishnah. He says, Derech Aliyah Tohorim. If you found the Keli on the way out from the mikvah, in other words, the pathway that leads away from the mikvah, so then you assume it's Tahor, it's a Tahor Keli. He says, Hada'alma Tameh, but that would leave me with a deduction that anywhere else is Tameh. So you want to make a deduction anywhere else is Tahor from the first part of the Mishnah, but a deduction from the second part of the Mishnah would mean anywhere else other than this pathway, it's Tameim. He says, Ela Reisha Dafka B'Seifa Lav Dafka. So rather, the way we should interpret the Mishnah, it was the Reisha is Dafka. The Reisha is saying that the only Tameh when you're found near the pathway heading towards the mikvah. Anywhere else in Yerushalayim, that's Tahor. That's Dafka. That's the Limud. He says, the Seifa Lav Dafka. The Seifa isn't per se. When the Seifa says that you found it outside going leading away from the mikvah, it's Tahor. It doesn't mean that nowhere else is Tahor. It's Tahor everywhere else as well. He says, but why does the Tana of the Mishnah mention this thing when you leave the mikvah that it's Tahor? He says, Lapuke Gaziato. In other words, to exclude these different alleyways that lead to the mikvah, in other words, will lead to and away from the mikvah. So he had like the official pathway, then other alleyways also you could go, and then you go down and up with it. So if you found it on the Gaziata, then you would assume that it's Tameh. And that's what the Amara was saying, that the Kalim you find in Yerushalayim generally are Tahorim. But there are, and he's, in other words, the Tana is helping me understand Pshat in the Mishnah. In other words, that's what the Tana is saying, that Kalim and Yerushalayim are generally Tohorim, and the Pshat in the Mishnah is the way we just did it. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Really quiet group these days. Chinin Skana Kohen doesn't do it for questions. Where's Yosef? You're still alive. Well, your hand is there. You're taking the Malka Luzon method. Okay. For a minute, you look just like Malka there, Yosef. Where is Malka tonight anyway? All right. Let's keep moving. All right. Now 10 lines from the bottom on your 10 amud beis. Okay. We're going in for the kill. Ulravda Amar Kamsha Abdullah Macha Tme made. The Kiru Basar. Now Rav said the case in the Mishnah could be that you recognize the machad as belonging to a Tmei Maid. A Tmei Maid is a person who touched a dead body. And so then the machad would be an avatuma because the metal, so the Gemara says, so Kevan to Amar Mar, Bachal Cherev, Cherev Haruk Chalal. So once, but if that's the case, that it was a machad that belonged to a Tmei Maid, but we know machad gets the same level as the Tmei Maid, that would be an avatuma. He says, Adam Akelim Nami Litame. So then why is it that the machad is not mitame the person? We're afraid the person touched the machad, and we said he's good, the adayim are good, and certainly the person's good. And we said there's no problem with the sakin, there's no problem with that at all. So Amravashi, Zodomeret, Sravashi says we can extrapolate from that Mishnah and the Hezber of Rav that Azara Rishud Rabim he. That the Azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, is halachically Rishud HaRabim. Again, I've said this in the past, but the definition of Rishud HaRabim, changes based on which area in halacha you're speaking about. If you speak about, Hilchot Shabbos, so there's one definition of Rishud HaRabim. Tumantara, a different definition of Rishud HaRabim. But the Azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, which is where the Mizbeach is, where you shechting the animal is, that has a din of Rishud HaRabim. Vavali Safik Tumah Rishud HaRabim. So I don't know for sure that I touched the pin. I don't know that my sakin touched the pin, but it's a Safik Tumah Rishud HaRabim. A Safik that arose in the Rishud HaRabim. We call Safik Tumah Rishud HaRabim Sveiko Tahor. That any Safik that arises in the Rishud HaRabim, so we're told that it's Tahor. Remember, we learned that in the beginning of Masechet Sota, that that she's only Tmeya because she's Nistara, she's in Rishud HaYachid, but in Rishud HaRabim not. So he says, so the Gemara says, from there I could extrapolate Hab Rishud HaYachid Sveiko Tamehu. So from there I could deduce that were the same Safik to apply, it were to rise in the Rishud HaYachid, so it would be Tame. He says, Michti, Hai Machad, Davar She'en Bo Dat Lisharlehu. Now the Machad is something that Ein Bo Dat Lisharlehu. So the Gemara elsewhere discusses, sometimes the Safik, let's say, arises, is a loaf of bread, is it Tame or Tahor? Do the Sheretz touch the loaf of bread? So the Gemara says, that the loaf of bread is a davar, is an inanimate object. It's davar shein budat lishoyel. He says, v'chol davar shein budat lishoyel, bein rishud rabim rishud yachid sveiko tahor. If it's something that I can't ask the person, cross-examine the person, so the sveiko, the safik, is also tahor. So from the fact that that Ravashi stated that, we were saying it's only because of the Rishud HaRabim, therefore we're told the Lakula, but even if the Rishud HaYachid, we told the Lakula, because Davar Shein Bodat Lishayel, and we're talking about the needle, something I can't cross examine the needle. So the Gemara says, Mishum Dahabi Sapek Tuma Hababi De'adam. You're right, the needle I can't cross examine. But man is involved with this. In other words, the needle, I can't cross-examine, but the person is handling the animal, and he may have touched the needle. I can cross-examine him. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Safik Tuma Ba'abi De'adam, if a man or a human is involved with it, even though it's like the Tommy object is somewhere else, Nishan and Lala, we go to Best and we ask about it, the top line of Chaf Amin Aleph, Afilu B'Kli Amunach Agabi Karka, B'Dvar Shesh B'Dat Lishayel. He says, meaning, let's say I have, like an object is in the Rishus HaYachid, and then there's something Tommy that like this person walking by with a dead sheretz, and there's a keli in the Rishus HaYachid, but the person walked by with the dead sheretz and may have touched it. So even though the object of my interest is this inanimate object, but since there's a person involved somewhere in the scenario, so then we view it as davar sheish without lishayel. So therefore, we're only told the kula because this is the Rishus HaRabim. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did tonight? Oh boy, have I got some looks here. Some looks here, boy. Some looks. You know, there's two methods of recording: the audio and the video. I could elect either one. All right. So if there's no questions, I'm going to end the recording, and then we'll don't leave me yet. Let's end recording.